Okay, thank you. And yeah, thanks all for coming, and it's a pleasure as always to be here. Very nice and productive environment. So I'll try to, so I see my task as essentially motivating and arguing that there is place for, much place for studies in the seemingly old system, which is triangular lattice and ferromagnets. And there is indeed a result. So results which I show come from collaboration with many people over the last several years. And I just will show, essentially try to state results and motivate them physically, but we'll be happy to provide, you know, technical details if there will be questions. So I will motivate and explain why special anisotropy seems to play a crucial role, and I will main experimental motivation comes from this material, which I'll sketch in a moment. But there is also another class of materials very under active investigation, so organic magnets, which seem to be more of a Hubbard type model, but with different T and T prime, different hopping on triangular lattice, and so also represent spatially deformed triangular lattice. And so, and then I'll summarize the results of kind of our attack on this problem from two very different perspectives. One using semi-classical spin waves near the spatial isotropic point, and another using a very different approach from one dimension, considering weak bonds as a perturbation. And then I sum up the questions. So, so for me, and many other people, so there is experiments on cesium copper bromide provide one of the main motivations, because this is spin 1/2 quantum antiferromagnet, very well layered, so two-dimensional structure, where which is, and it's isostructural to very well studied, very much studied and rather well understood cesium copper chloride material, but they have both triangular lattice geometry for as far as spins go, but exchange interactions are sufficiently different. So both have triangular lattice, and J are strong bonds, which can be sort of chains, spin chains running along horizontal axis, and J primes are these dashed zigzag bonds. And they're weaker in both material. In this one, we know that's 1/3 of J from high field measurements. And in cesium copper bromide, we don't know it precisely. It's somewhere between 0.5 and 0.75, well, or 0.8, let's say, as estimated from, for example, trying to match the observed ordering wave number with theoretical calculations. So what is striking about this material is its phase diagram in magnetic field. So for the field in magnetic BC plane, one obtains a very complicated phase diagram, of which, so there are 9 phases, of which one, the up-up-down plateau, is rather clear, and all nature of all other phases is under investigation. So in the minimal theoretical model, which I describe in the next slide, or in a couple of slides, we know, you know, there are 3 phases. So there is big gap, which provide, between, I mean, discrepancy between theoretical and experimental observations. Of course, material can be always have more interaction than just Heisenberg, but nonetheless, it's interesting to think about it. So the plateau, magnetization plateau, is very clearly visible. So magnetization, this solid line here, it exists in the field range of about 1 Tesla and is very well pronounced. And along the other axis, if you apply magnetic field along C axis, there is also a plateau, but if you apply along perpendicular to the plane, there is no plateau. So there is some anisotropy, but okay, it's always not clear. So these are experiments, and then there has been theoretical progress in various aspects. And so I like these two one-dimensional systems, which are retain kind of minimal triangular geometry. So it's J1, J2 chain, where J2 are strong bonds. J2 are horizontal bonds and J1 zigzag. So, but it's a spin ladder. And so in magnetic field, both spin 1/2 ladder and spin 1 ladder show very rich phase diagram. For spin 1, it's not fully understood yet, but for spin 1/2, there is a very detailed phase diagram. And point which I want to focus on, so both spin 1/2 and spin 1 system have magnetization plateau, this P phase, which exists in a finite range of J2 to J1 ratios in magnetic field. So this plateau also exists for higher spins, 3/2 and 2. And so the presence of the plateau, if you look on this phase diagram, is one of the most, this plateau is one of the most prominent features. And it can be understood in this 1D setting from Ashikawa and Affleck's argument that at M=1, 3, period 3 structures are possible for all spins. So in fact, this plateau can be understood in some semi-classical fashion. And then one can try and exploit this feature and think of other phases as instabilities of this plateau phase, assuming if the transitions are continuous. You can think of...
what is BC?
Sorry?
What is
VC? VC, so right, it's vector chiral phase. Then, which is quantum, which is one-dimensional analog of umbrella state. As DW, I will describe later in some details. TLL2 and 1 are Luttinger liquid critical phases. 2 and 1 stand for number of gapless modes. So here is 2, and there is 1. And I'll come to this diagram later on, actually. But so the plateaus, you can think of also interesting analogy as being solids, spin solids. So it's at the plateau, we have, say, two up spins and one down in unit cell. So they are lined along the magnetic field so that there is no transverse component. No order in the transverse direction, so the states do not break U1 symmetry, but they break translational symmetry, the solids. Okay. And then if we think from this perspective, then we can think of plateau phases as Mott insulators. Then, as I'll show, so instabilities of the Mott insulators can lead to supersolids or superfluids, and there are several examples of such systems. But some features of the phase diagram can be understood in this way, but the global phase diagram and phase transitions are completely open, topic. So let me now get to the physical discussion of these states. So first approach I'll sketch is semi-classical spin wave approach to the spatial anisotropic antiferromagnet, where I can see that J prime is been close to J, so anisotropy is small. Then no matter how small the anisotropy is, as soon as we make it J prime different from J, classically, the only state that exists in magnetic field is umbrella, so just spiral, which is mostly orthogonal to magnetic field, and then as we have, and the cone, this formed by spins, closes up as we increase magnetic field until saturation. And so in such classical state, there is no room for plateau, magnetization plateau. However, when we know that when J prime is equal to J, especially isotropic triangular classical antiferromagnet, the situation is very different. There is a sequence of planar states which are degenerate with umbrella at this point. And so when we then think of finite spin system, then we find that quantum fluctuations prefer collinear states, or sorry, planar states, which have better low zero energy motion energy than non-coplanar umbrella states. And so this system has then competition, realizes competition between classical umbrella, which are energy of which is lower by J minus J prime squared, and quantum states which gain energy of the order of J over S. And so this competition then must be controlled by single dimensionless parameter. So we're just classical energy divided by quantum, so we can parameterize it like this. And this is indeed what comes out of calculation. So here I'll spend most of my talk describing rest of the talk describing this phase diagram. So what we do, we assume we are inside up up down state, two spins up, one down, and then analyze neighboring phases as instability of this plateau, magnetization plateau. So since up up down state is again collinear state, so it has only gapful excitations. There are three spins per unit cell, so three total modes, but one is just uniform precession, so it's very high energy mode, and two are low energy. And so then we can understand two boundaries in field. So I fix J prime and I start at the plateau, and I either increase magnetic field or decrease. And so there are critical fields corresponding to one of the gapped modes becoming gapless. And so it's a condensation transition. And the critical fields are themselves of the order of J over S. So the appearance of the plateau is quantum effect. So without quantum fluctuations, there would be no plateau at all. And so what we find then, for sufficiently small deformations, these condensations out of plateau lead to two supersolid or planar magnetic, in magnetic language, planar states. So one is called Y. So three sublattice state where two spins are sideways and one opposite to the field, or V, which is another commensurate three sublattice magnetic state. Both of these states are supersolids in a sense that if you calculate expectation value of spin long range order component, then you find the transverse component, say X, or what, so there is a global phase which is spontaneously broken, and then is modulated with momentum Q, and SZ component, which is density, is modulated with momentum 2Q. So this is supersolid. Okay.
Can I ask you?
Yes.
Just am I right that here you simply dope? So if we just will start speaking bosonic language, which you already speak, let's say supersolid. So basically, we dope the insulator with either particles or holes,
yes.
Right? And it's a second order kind of.
It's condensation. Yes.
When you just create carriers.
Yes. And so because magnetic field plays a role.
Not phase separate, because in some other systems. Just you end up with phase separation. So here.
No, it's they don't. Okay. So it's a. So as we increase, so these two, now these three phases, sorry, Y, up, up, down, and V are phases realized in specially isotropic antiferromagnet. So it's known from other studies, it's just our way of recovering those results. So, but as we increase delta, the deformation, make J prime smaller, so at some point, these condensation transitions shift from the minimum of energy shifts from k equals zero commensurate point to incommensurate point. Okay. And for example, so if you look at higher HC2 boundary, so this happens when delta is greater than 3, condensation at finite k, so describes then umbrella-like state in a sense that as z, okay, sorry, in a sense that there is transfer U1 symmetry breaking, it's just usual in XY plane perpendicular to magnetic field, but it's still what we find is very unusual, and I don't quite understand how to think about this state. It's a distorted umbrella in a sense that if you actually look on a z component, it remembers about A, B, and C sublattices of the up-down state. So there is modulation of the density, which is commensurate with the lattice, whereas XY order is incommensurate with the lattice. So as we go in high in the field, then there is another very convenient limit where calculations are controlled. It's another, okay, more probably known condensation transition. So I apply magnetic field sufficient to fully polarize spins, then all my excitations are just true magnets, spin flips, and they are gapped. As I start to reduce field, you know, I again condense magnets, and so transition from saturation to the ordered state can be also understood as condensation transition. And in this way, one can understand high field phase diagram. And so there it's very interesting. Feature consistent with finding from up-down plateau is that as you condense at finite J prime, that is at finite spatial anisotropy, there are spectrum of magnets has two degenerate minima, which are non-equivalent. And so there is, one has an equation, has to decide whether condensation spontaneously breaks symmetry between these two minima or condensation is coherent between two minima. So if you condense at a single K point, which is spontaneously chosen, then you recover usual cone or umbrella state, which is pure superfluid. So just transverse order and the z is constant. If you condense at both k points, then you recover supersolid, which is now incommensurate with the lattice. So q is determined function of j to j prime, but it's a planar state, which is in magnetic language is called fan structure. So it's a planar state, but still a supersolid. And then this line is a commensurate incommensurate transition. Okay, so this is high field region. This is the region near the up-down plateau. And then these dashed lines, sketch of what we think how the phase diagram should look like. We do not know what happens to these lines as we approach the up-down plateau. So if I try to now compare with existing numerical studies, which are very few, and so in two-dimensional system, it's a really work, recent work by Lessig, Matrunich, and...
Does the Q depend on the
order in momentum.
The Q?
Yes.
Does the value of Q depend on H as well?
Yes, I mean, in general. It is. So in incommensurate state, it is. So numerical variational wave function calculation, do agree that there is very strong pronounced up-down plateau. It's the kind of strongest feature or the most kind of, the clearest feature is the phase diagram. There are incommensurate and commensurate planar states. But then, so this delta, and just be careful, it's just pure deformation. It's not the same delta as the one I used.
So even for the commensurate case, the Q...
No, for commensurate, it's pinned to the lattice, right? Yes. But as one increases, so J minus J prime difference, so plateau seems to survive up to, you see here, 0.6 or so. Then there are many question marks, which are, okay, so numerically it's difficult to resolve what's happening. So there are, must be various transitions. The spiral, what is called spiral here, I think is an umbrella state. And so there is broad agreement between our calculation and these numerical studies. But for example, you can notice that at low field for deformation, which is okay, 0.4, so the ground state is very difficult to resolve. It's okay, looks like a spin liquid, or it may be a, a very different commensurate magnetic state, which however is very weak. What is interesting also, and I want to make this point, that there is, I think, good correspondence between two-dimensional phase diagram and one-dimensional J1, J2 chain. So, namely, there is plateau, and then these two Latindre liquid two states above and below plateau, I think, can be understood as one-dimensional versions of commensurate V and Y states, because they correspond to condensation classically of two magnons, two bands of magnons are condensed, so which is necessary to produce a planar magnetic structure. So in 1D, of course, there is no long-range magnetic order, but it appears that that's what remains of these states when you quantum disorder them. The VC is vector chiral, which is, again, umbrella type of state. So for sufficiently small okay, deformation, we understand, okay, big features. But then in our semi-classical calculation, what happens at some critical delta, deformation squared essentially times S, plateau just collapses. Okay, whether it's real feature or not, it's very difficult to say, because of course our approach is okay, suited to, I mean, we consider deformation as perturbation. So at this point, and I'll quickly summarize in a few couple of minutes, it's very convenient to switch gears and think of this problem as weakly coupled one-dimensional chains. So now I take a complementary view of J prime being, you know, arbitrary small, so my control parameter, and then doing perturbation theory in interchain coupling. And then in magnetic field, it immediately leads to a very interesting conclusion that arbitrary small magnetic field produces magnetic state, which is SDW state, collinear spin density wave. The reason is very simple. In magnetic field, if I think of single chain as some kind of Hubbard model, so I have a band of electrons, magnetic field is chemical potential, which splits up and down subbands. So the Fermi points of these two subbands are now incommensurate with the lattice. And so excitations along the field, which say up, right up to left up, or right down to left down, which correspond to longitudinal spin fluctuations, become incommensurate. Okay? And so spatial anisotropy in the interchain interaction, which couples spin on given chain to sum of two other spins, without magnetic field, this in continuum limit, this becomes a derivative coupling of derivative of to staggered magnetization on chain Y to derivative of staggered magnetization on the next chain. But in magnetic field, since longitudinal fluctuations become incommensurate, this derivative is replaced by difference of K Fermi or by different magnetization. Okay, so out of this marginal term, we suddenly recover relevant term with just reduced amplitude. So it's a strongly relevant perturbation which stabilizes a rather unusual state. It's collinear spin density wave, so it's a state ordered along the direction of the field with disordered transverse component. And its momentum is now field dependent and is not locked to the lattice in general. It's function of the field, scales with the field. At some point, when it becomes commensurate with the lattice, we can expect magnetization plateau, and not, in general, not just 1/3. We can expect other fractions as well. And so, coming from 1D, from J prime much less than J point, then we have this SDW green phase as a function of magnetic field. Then maybe some commensurate plateau phases, and only at very high fields near saturation do we recover umbrella or cone state, because at that point the transverse correlations become relevant enough so that derivative essentially doesn't matter. But most of the phase diagram is occupied by this collinear spin density wave. And so now it's very interesting to try and think and how I can reconcile one-dimensional result with this two-dimensional. And okay, there are many ways. I'm just going to guess. That's my suggestion, that phase diagram may be looks something like this. So we have up-up-down plateau, which actually persists for all values of J prime to J. Okay? So, okay. We know this again here, and we know that here, and okay, it makes sense to say, assume that it may persist for all deformations, but it's an open question. Then longitudinal spin density wave state is very interesting. So again, it's in the language of superfluids and supersolids, it's an incommensurate solid. Again, so there is modulated as Z component, but no, XY components are disordered. And so plateau coming from 1D exists in this SDW region. At very high fields, we have umbrella, so this probably connects to two-dimensional umbrella state. We had this distorted umbrella, which, okay, is not clear what it does. And so there are clearly many questions to be asked about this phase diagram, beginning, you know, with most basic ones. How many phases are there if I choose some J prime to J ratio and cut along the magnetic field? So what is the phase content that they expect? So there are some currently ongoing, for example, studies by Hongchen Zhang at Q Station. He's looking into magnetization plateau and surrounding phases using DMRG, but it's very numerically difficult problem. So there are hints that of indeed 1/3 magnetization plateau, and everything else requires more work. And so then my conclusions there are many interesting phases. What is interesting and rather unusual that they are, in my view of looking on this problem, these are magnetically ordered and still rather non-trivial phases, of which perhaps the most unusual is as longitudinal spin density wave. And there are many questions on how the phase diagram, whether the real phase diagram looks anything like the one we are suggesting here. And there are several materials now. So there is this multiferroic, which I want to mention, but have no time to discuss, which may be relevant to this story as well. So thank you.
So you said that your super solid has a commensurate diagonal order, but incommensurate transverse order.
So in this region, so yeah. This particular.
If yes. I do a neutron scattering experiment, then I should see like two Bragg peaks, like
yes.
One for the Z component, one.
Right.
Is anything right. Like this going
well,
to happen?
No, but not that I know. So, but even in simpler, okay. So. No, so I don't know such experimental systems where.
So there's no evidence yet
right.
Of super solid in that system.
Right. There is an evidence, okay, tentative evidence of SDW state in this multiferroic material, actually lithium copper vanadate. It's not coming from neutron scattering, it comes from interpretation of NMR, low temperature NMR measurements. So it's consistent, but it's not a experimental proof yet.
And probably a naive question concerning incommensurate solid phase. Mm-hmm. Is it clear that it exists in the academic sense of the word? Because naively, I would say I can just fine-tune a little bit the period of this incommensurate solid such that this period, the ratio of this period to the lattice period becomes some rational number.
Yeah, sorry.
Can it be shown that there is no coupling which would favor this fine tuning?
So it's a.
Of the period.
Okay, so you're talking about Devil's staircase or something like that, right? So it's a quantum problem, right? So there are quantum fluctuations. So in classical problem, you can, I think, lock infinite. I mean, there are kind of this Devil's staircase of stasis.
The long range order as classical, because quantumness is all about some microscopic details.
No, but it's also about, okay, so there are clearly quantum fluctuations because the fact that XY component, what we find that XY component, disordered XY component is a result of quantum fluctuations. It's not possible if you think of classical spins.
Right, very simply. Is the point. So suppose this order is there, period.
Yes.
So it's already classical because we can measure it after
it has
very low. And I think, is it possible just to fine tune it a little bit at this classical level to gain something?
Okay, so there are.
Can I comment? I mean, I think you're right that it is classical, basically,
but
once it's longer yes. order. It's all the standard staircase stories hold.
What's
at zero temperature. At zero temperature, there is a devil staircase.
But the region.
You can ask the question if you take a truly incommensurate point and approach it as a limit. Does it remain stable? And it actually does. But there, nevertheless, there's an infinite series of this becomes very exponential. The temperature at which you see these things become exponential. It is an academic.
And the width. So, for example, these states are the kind of biggest features of this kind, right? But the width, you can ask. So, you can how is the scale in the magnetic field? It's exponentially small for high Qs.
So the experimental plot is shown in the
Bang
with the different plateaus.
So the experimental plot was one third plateau.
There were several plateaus, right?
Okay, so there is one plateau and a feature.
Uh-huh.
So one third plateau is okay, beyond doubt. So experimentally suggest something like maybe two thirds plateau or okay. There is a feature two thirds, so if you look I think okay, actually well if you can see. So on this data, so there is okay. So there is one third plateau is here, and then up here there is okay some kind of kink. Okay, whether it's plateau or not, it's not known. And okay, so thinking of okay, so that's an open question. So both for experimentalist and for series. So if you think of this model as weakly disturbed. Triangular, isotropic triangular antiferromagnet, there seems to be no room for such plateau coming from one-dimensional limit. We can have plateau at two-thirds and other fractions nearby.
That's not seen in the cesium copper chloride.
So in chloride, no, because okay. So we understand why, and if you look on this, so So if I try to put this, existing experimental systems on this graph, so there is yet another axis or several dimensions, right? But at least experimentally, physically relevant is interlayer coupling, okay? And it turns out so that even though bromide-based system is more two-dimensional, the layers are less coupled, relatively speaking, than in chloride. You can estimate from saturation field and other things. And so here it's the even one-third plateau is consistent. Having observing no plateau in this material, we interpret this as mostly being due to sufficiently strong interlayer exchange, and there are also various Dolashinsky-Maria things, but this interlayer exchange alone would kill the plateau.
As you dope away from the one-third plateau, so you increase the field away from the one-third plateau, you said that there's a super solid phase, a commensurate planar, which seems to apply to cesium, copper, bromate too. So then in the experiment you observe one single magnetic transition, right? So the plot you showed from the experiment.
So in experiments there are... Okay, you mean... Here, from the plateau?
In the phase 2A, which would probably be the best candidate for super solid. Right, so they see only one magnetic transition somehow. If you have a super solid, you might guess that there are maybe two. Yes. One, which
is
for the atom order.
You mean as a function of temperature?
Temperature, yes. These data are coming from neutron scattering.
No. For plateau there is neutron scattering data. So and we know the period is as it should be. The rest, I think, most of these points comes from magnetocaloric measurements. So in that experiment, what is observed are indications of phase transitions, but the phases are not identified. So we. Essentially do not, experimentally it's not known what these phases are.
Okay, well, thank you, Alec.